There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Miguel Wise Show is back from Ciudad de Mexico, and we're talking Golden State Warriors with a very special guest. But first, Darlene has to thang. That's Espanol for do your thang!
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Gracias, Darlene. Matt Steinmetz has been covering the Golden State Warriors since the last century. Matt was the Warriors beat writer for the Contra Costa Times from 1996 to 2005, pregame and postgame analyst for Comcast Bay Area, now known as NBC Sports Bay Area, the broadcast home of the Warriors. Matt was also part of the Warriors radio and television roundtable programs, and he's now the host of Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, based in San Francisco. Welcome, my friend. I know it's been a long time.
Hey, Mike, any way you can send me that? Because I haven't put together a resume in a long time, and that maybe I could use that. You never know in this business.
Believe me, I do know. That's the sad part. Look, we're recording this prior to the Tuesday game between the Dubs and the Brooklyn Nets, but Golden State's 11-2 heading into the game, best record in the NBA. I mean, I want to say Steph Curry's been the key to the hot start so far, but you're way more insightful on this than I am. Please illuminate.
Well, they're deep. That's the first thing. And obviously it all starts with Curry, Mike, but if you look at his numbers, they're actually down a little bit. His shooting percentage is down. His three-point percentage is down a little bit. He tends to not get off the great starts. Yeah. But the one thing he's doing is everything else. And he's still the number one focus of the defense. And I think what we're seeing with the Warriors so far, and keep in mind, they played 8 straight home games. They just got on the road against Charlotte a couple days ago. And now, of course, they're in Brooklyn. But they've had a few guys help them each and every game, whether it's Damian Lee, who's helped them win 2 or 3 games. Gary Payton II, he's helped them win a couple games. Otto Porter Jr. has been solid for them. Bielitsa helped them absolutely win their opener against the Lakers. So what's happening here, Mike, is they're deep right now. They got about 10 or 11 guys they use. But if they don't use a guy on a given day, they'll get to him the next game. And because the guys are young, a Juan Toscano-Anderson, a Gary Payton II, Damian Lee, these are three guys who, you know, they're not NBA veterans who think they just have earned their right into the NBA. So there's not going to be any problem if a guy sits here or there and then is asked to play 20 minutes a game. And the reason I say that is because right now they don't have defined roles on this team. There's no defined rotation. But it's been working out well because Steve Kerr, you know, put in Gary Payton II, and he'll get a little something out of Payton II, and then he'll put in Toscano Anderson, and he'll help him win a game. So he's really, you know, he's really got a lot of players at his fingertips and at his disposal, and enough guys are playing well night to night, and that's why they're winning games. The other thing they've done real quick is, even though they've got a few new players, it feels like they're in mid-season form. It feels like their veteran players are pretty smart. They fit in. They fit in right away. The young players who were on the team last year kind of know the system, and it just feels like they hit the ground running this year, whereas, you know, a lot of other teams, they're going to take 6 weeks to 2 months to kind of get it together. And I think the Warriors, somewhere in the back of their minds, knew – we should probably get off to a good start if we can without Klay Thompson, because we want to stick around in this thing, and it's gone great for him so far.
I feel that this will tell our age more than anything other than our old war horse basketball stories. Steph Curry's 33, 34.
He's 34, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, to me, the guy grew up in front of our eyes. I know you got to know him over the years. It blows me away. I guess it dates all of us that he's a full-on veteran now, and he's past his heyday, and he's probably got, I don't know, 4 or 5 good years left, probably 3 elite years left. So, like, your thoughts on this guy?
This guy, there will never be another Steph Curry, at least not out here in the Bay Area. There's just no doubt about it. I remember his first media day back in 2009. Get this. His first media day, he walks in to the Warriors practice facility, and Monte Ellis is on the team at that time. Yep. And Monte Ellis says, "We can't play together. Two small guards, that doesn't work." Same day, Steven Jackson said, "I want out of Golden State." That was on the first day of Steph Curry's practice that he ever had with the Golden State Warriors. I could talk forever on the guy.
You're not at Davidson anymore, son.
No, exactly. But you know what, Mike?
Yeah.
Because he grew up in the NBA, the son of Dell, he was around the game his whole life, even as a kid. Like, he knew what to expect. Like, it didn't faze him even day one because, you know, Dell came home and told him crazy stories about what goes on in the league. So that's one thing that I always think about with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. When they came into the league, they might have been rookies, but they were veterans in terms of how smart they were and what they already knew about the league. And, you know, he came in, he was scrawny, Mike, when he came in.
He could have been in an after school ABC after school special. Steph, eat something.
Exactly. I mean, he was kind of like Trae Young, a little bit bigger, a little taller. But if you look at him right now, I mean, this guy is slapped together. Yeah. He is strong. I think he's as strong as he's ever been. And he's combating age with just an unbelievable training regimen, to tell you the truth. One of the reasons he's a great player is because he can play with the ball or without the ball, and his strength has really helped him off. You know, when he's off the ball, because he can just move, and he's strong, and he gets the spots, and he gets the ball where he wants. He split second. Guy's been incredible.
Yeah. No. He's like a better version of Reggie Miller, where he just finds ways to curl up picks. He moves constantly without the ball. He's like Rick Bucher with skill. like Bucher, like, and people remember Rick Bucher from ESPN and the Bay Area. I love Bucsy. You love Bucsy. But let's be honest. The guy moved like a robot. He ran around the court like a chicken without a head. And his favorite three words were, if you need, like, for a pick. Like, shut up. Get out of my way.
Am I being cruel here?
I don't know.
No. One thing you'll find about Steph Curry is he sees the floor extremely well. And that puts him in stark contrast to Rick Bucher. Curry's able to see the play ahead of him. Bucher's lucky to see the play that just happened. And so that's one of the reasons that Curry's so incredible, to tell you the truth. You know what? We had Nick Van Exel on our show the other day. He's assistant coach now for the Hawks. He called Curry the best three-point shooter off the dribble. And I was thinking about that. And when I
might call him the best shooter ever. I mean, I think I don't want to go too far, but I feel like he changed the game the way Kareem changed the game in college, or other guys, like, where you had to, not only did, you know, he sort of launched this shoot from the parking lot league, but he became so lethal. Like, he became like, wait a minute, we're in the statistical analysis era. Three is better than two. I distinctly remember during their championship run in, 2017, Durant is coming down the court on the right side. Steph is like on the left side. And Durant, like you and I growing up, you at Franklin and Marshall, me at some sorry ass junior college in Sacramento, we were always told, hit the open man. He's there for a layup. And Durant, 6'11", instead of waiting for the alley-oop, he points up like, shoot it. And Steph pulls up from three and hits it. And it's three was better than two. It was that way. And so in that way, I think he's changed the game. Sometimes for the worse, because not everybody could shoot from there.
Exactly.
But in my lifetime, I've never seen – I mean, it's, Kyrie is skilled in a different way that I've never seen – but I've never seen a perimeter player, as skilled as he is in my life.
Well, sometimes people are like, well, who does he remind you of, or who's he like? And you know what I say? He's like Metal Lark Lemon. Because Metal Lark Lemon could make that hook shot from half court, you know, when the Globetrotters would come. I mean, the thing about Curry is he could literally just stand at the hash mark, even beyond the hash mark, and he must be guarded. He has to be guarded. So a lot of times if he just stays out there, now you're playing 4-on-4, which is easier to play than 5-on-5. And I've never seen a guy who needs to be guarded so far from the bucket. The one thing I've always said about him is, in a crazy way to me, he's a one-of-a-kind player because he's more dangerous the further away from the basket he is. I'm telling you, you got to guard him 30, 32 feet from the basket. And if you do that, then he can get that half step on you, and now you got trouble in a variety of ways. But I've spent, Mike, so much time thinking about Curry over my career. You know, like his ability to get off a shot without shooting a jump shot.
Right.
He doesn't shoot a jump shot. And yet, he can somehow get that shot off. It's incredible.
It's crazy to me. I could talk. We could make this whole podcast about Steph, and we will when he retires in 5 years. I'm blown away by him. And also, I think too, on another level, as being a guy that loved passing and moving and sort of the Magic Bird era and what it meant to not have isolation and Pat Riley taking away pieces of the court so you couldn't score, like he to me was the, you know, the prototype after all the failed prototypes of Steve Nash and the Suns. I thought that team was going to win it all. They probably should have, because they got a raw deal in San Antonio that one year,
right.
The Kings of you know, what, Bibby and Weber, and before that Jason Williams, Weber, the Suns of Nash and Dirk early on. Like, thought all those teams had a shot because they moved the ball and they brought back the team game, and yet the Warriors were the ones who did it. And, of course, we know what they did it with. They got, a guy like Draymond Green, who the intangible guy, who didn't care about anything but winning and finding a way. And once you had a team like that could play defense, it was over. And I still think I would put that Warriors team in their prime all up against almost anybody. I mean, the 86 Celtics, the 96 Bulls, and they say, oh, rules are different. Well, yeah, but skills are different too.
Right.
No, but even Steve Kerr couldn't shoot from where Curry could. So I don't, like, I mean, and what a treat for you, by the way. A guy who suffered through so many bad seasons. And I remember when we met in the early 90s, mid-90s, the Warriors just sucked. I mean, they were an embarrassment. They were the two guys. I got to know one guy pretty good from the local NAACP chapter. They used to sit down and they would bring like these huge fake blunts. And when Weber would be at the free throw line for the Kings, you know, on their way to a 60-win season, they'd be like, "Hey Chris," and Weber would just be smiling. And that was the reason to go to
Shannon Reed. Huh? Shannon Reeves,
you got him. Yeah, great Mark, dude.
And Mark Anthony Jones, they would sit on the corner and they would heckle.
Yeah.
But they would do nice way, and like they never used profanity or anything like that.
They were
man.
Hilarious. It was a comedy team. And now those guys probably, I got to imagine, still have season tickets. And now they're looking at the most, you know, 3 or 4 years they win it all. And just, you know, recently because of Klay Thompson's injury and changing up the roster, but still, what a run. I guess the question to you is, are they good enough to win another championship, or is this a little bit of a camouflage because it's early season, they had all these home games?
I didn't think they were that good this year, good enough to win a title. I'm still a little skeptical, but it's within the realm of possibility, I think. Believe it or not, I think it's all going to depend on Klay Thompson. Because if he can be like Klay Thompson, then I think all bets are off. But I think that's a long shot. I think that's an injury where next year he might be better. But the thing that Thompson gives you is he gives you the ability to defend a point guard so that Steph doesn't have to. That's one of the things that this team has done incredibly well. Like, you know, when they played Houston over the years, Klay Thompson would guard Harden. And he was able to turn him into a volume shooter all the time. You know, 9 for 23. And you know what? That's how you beat Houston back in the day. So it's going to be incredible when Klay Thompson comes back. They're hoping around Christmas. And I think it just depends on how back he is.
Jordan Poole's playing like a borderline all-star right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Mike. Who's the trying to think? Who's the biggest ball hog in the media that we've ever met? Do you think?
Oh gosh, Stephen A. was pretty bad back then.
I'll tell you who I played with this guy once, and he I don't think he made a pass. A guy named Chris Palmer.
Oh, Chris Palmer. Oh God, NBA, ESPN magazine. Now I think he's got a Twitter account. That guy, oh my God, Chris Palmer never met a shot he didn't like.
No, Chris Poole Palmer, you know, Jordan Poole takes a lot of shots.
Remember Jordan Crawford?
Sure.
He was a gunner.
Or Jamal a little bit he's like, but, what's Klay
Thompson? Shots.
Yeah, he did. So when he comes back, Klay Thompson comes back, Jordan Poole's going to have to be a little more disciplined, but yeah, he's helping him as a third guard, no doubt about it.
Why don't they just like bring Klay Thompson off the bench? I think he could be sixth man of the year if Steve wanted to do that.
I think they may do that to start because I'd be surprised if he plays more than 20 minutes to start. I think he's going to sit back to backs. But that's what everybody's waiting for out here, Mike, because it's been 2 years and you know, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. So they got to get back. And here's the other thing. If something happens this year and somebody gets hurt and they don't go to the playoffs, it's over. This is the last run for Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. Joe Lake of the owner is going to, you know, this is their last crack at it. And I think if they don't, you know, finish fourth or fifth, or they look like they can then take the next step, then I think it's time to break this up. And I think Warrior fans would be ready for that. But I think what's going to happen if Klay's okay is they're going to be maybe top four. And then at that point, you can see where they'd have to go next year. So they got to figure out where they fit in the West right now.
Well, to me, you're right. That window is – and same with the Lakers for that matter, LeBron's health. If LeBron's ever going to get a fifth ring or even try for a sixth, it's got to happen in the next 2 years. And right. and then you've got, you know, Jokic is just going to get better teammates over the years. Luka's going to get better teammates. Maybe now that Neil O'Shea's in trouble in Portland, they'll do something to help Damian Lillard at some point. I don't know. But the bottom line is the West is still full. Phoenix isn't going anywhere. It's what it is.
And that's the thing, Mike. The Warriors haven't played Denver. They haven't played Dallas. They haven't played Phoenix. played Memphis and got beat. Memphis plays the Warriors real well for whatever reason. So they beat the Lakers opening night when the Lakers were, I don't know what they were doing. So yeah. They still got to play. They haven't played Brooklyn. They haven't played Milwaukee. So they got to, they're going to have some tough games coming up, but they built themselves some padding, that's for sure.
While this run is still, all intents and purposes, still going, especially if Klay gets back, I get you've been, like I said, you've been close to it too. I hate the term, we have a great culture. We have a great, it's like, I've never met a freaking losing team with a great culture. It's sort of like winning is the great deodorant. If you win, you got a great culture. You could have three people under investigation for money laundering, another a fourth with DUI, but God darn it, if we win, we got a great culture. And yet, the Heat always talk about this, and because it's led by a psycho like Pat Riley, who's to me is the greatest, Phil Jackson, sure, but I still think Riley could take me, you, and three NBA players and still win 20 games.
Yeah, I put Riley above Phil Jackson. I do
too. And but other than I'm thinking of like in terms of culture, the Warriors have had a pretty solid culture even in down times, and Andre Iguodala returns. What is the core of that culture? Is it just Steph Curry and Curry. Thompson kick ass, or is there something else?
It's Steph Curry. Okay. I think it's Steph Curry. That's the thing we're going to find out down the line, because I don't know if you've ever talked to the Warriors owner, Joe Lacob. He's a I've gotten to know him over the last decade. He's kind of a piece of work. I've come to like him. I've come to kind of like his arrogance and confidence. And he would tell you, I was part of building this culture. I think it's mostly Steph Curry, to tell you the truth. And that's why when I say the Warriors will never have another Steph Curry, it's not just because of the player.
It's who he is.
I think it's Steph Curry. But yeah. I can be proven wrong in 4 years.
No, I agree with you. Bob Watts, Bob Myers made some great moves, and I think he's done all the right things. In fact, he reminded me of, who was Jeff Petrie back in the day, when he just knew how to put people around the right guys. And it didn't matter if it was a guy who's going to play 3 years in the league or this guy who's going to play 10, he would find that nugget and he would get a hold of him before his down years. And then he would take a chance on a guy that he just thought was a heart and soul player and he would bring him back. But so this is Bob Myers. But when I think of Steph, I still remember going up to them first time, like 2011 or something, when I go, you probably don't remember this, but me, Frank Isola, and a couple of Knicks writers would go to, stay for Charlotte shoot around, and we'd shoot afterwards. And we remember like, there's this light skinned, skinny kid. Oh, that's Steph Curry's kid. And he laughed and he goes, yeah, I used to shoot every time after you guys got off the court. And he goes, some of you media guys were really bad. And I'm like, yeah, we were. And, but he's like, he refused to call me anything but sir. And I wasn't that, it's like 10 years ago. I wasn't even 50 yet. And yet now I like meet him. Not only is he grown up, but he still has that same respectful maturity it just carries over in so many ways.
So when one of the things that Curry did was, so when he came into the league, everybody was still using the phrase tweener. And whether it was a one or two or a three or four. And one of the things was, that I used to say was, this guy, is he a one? Is he a two? And when you say that, it had a negative connotation. Curry turned that into, that's what I think Curry changed, is, well, he's not a true point guard, but he's not a true shooting guard. But that made him better. And the funny thing is over the years, as he started winning titles, I would see him every once in a while. And he'd always give me grief about, am I a true point guard right now? And I would say, no, but it's still working out for you. You know what I mean? And he always kind of remembered that, gave me grief about it, but he never held it against me. He always laughed about it. But more important was, his ability to play both is, I think, what makes him maybe one of the greatest perimeter players of all time. Because everybody always says, oh man, if Steph played pick and roll 90% of the time like Harden, he could score 40 up 45. Yeah, he could. But you know what? He's better when he plays half on the ball, half off the ball, because he's tougher to guard off the ball because five players' eyes aren't on him. So to me, him and Draymond, in a way, changed the definition of tweener from negative to positive. And Draymond the same way. He came out of Michigan State. Well, he's too small to be a power forward. He's not quick enough to be a – I'm sorry, he's not big enough to be a power forward. He's not quick enough to be a small forward. But what you found is he's actually quick enough to defend threes, and he's strong enough to defend fours, and he turns that disadvantage into an – kind of like Barkley. You know, Barkley was – you couldn't guard – Draymond does it on the defensive end. Barkley, you guard him with a three, he goes into the post. You guard him, you got him with a four, he goes to the perimeter. You guard him with a three, he goes into the post. So he turned that into an advantage, and I think both Draymond and Curry did the same thing.
Yeah, I could talk about them all day. Do you? Draymond was always said that was one of the reasons Kevin Durant left. What are your feelings about Draymond? I mean, he has this dick quality to him, pardon my French, but he's like, to me, he's like Oakley with more skill and speed, where he and passing ability. Like, he's the ultimate guy where you hate him when you're playing against him, but you want him on your team.
Yeah, he's a made man out here. There's just no doubt about it. Like,
are you saying that Draymond Green is in the mafia?
I'm not saying that, Mike, but what I'm saying is he's untouchable.
He's in the Warriors mafia.
Yes, he's untouchable. he can get away with stuff that other guys can't get away with just because he's earned it. He can be a tough guy to play with, no doubt about it. But look at a guy like Andrew Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins is probably playing the best basketball of his career now.
Yeah.
Certainly on a defensive end, and it's got to have something to do. It's got to have something to do with Draymond Green.
So there's not coaches working with him that made Wiggins better, but you think that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, Ron Adams. You're probably very familiar with Ron Adams, the assistant coach.
What are you talking about?
He's a Fresno guy, right?
He's a Fresno State guy.
That's right.
Fresno State. He was coach. I mean, Ron Adams is one of the great stories in the NBA to me, because I can remember being at like a UOP Pacific versus Fresno State game in the late 80s. Ron Adams is the coach, and me thinking, this guy is not going to get a high school job after this, because people in the stands are berating him, and his wife is just sitting in the stands as depressed as ever. And I'm thinking, this guy's done. And yet, boom, he becomes a part of one of the great staffs of all time. And then he ends up like, it's like a great story.
He's a little like Tim Gergerich back in the day.
Oh, okay. Gerg.
No. Yeah, because I think a lot of people think Ron Adams is one of the best assistant coaches. Defensively, he's done a good, he's been the architect kind of him defensively over the years.
Yeah, I love him. He's a great number two guy. I mean, he's just one of these guys where he loves that other people have the spotlight. He does his job.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and so Draymond, okay, he's one of these guys that can get away with things. Iguodala, does he give this team anything now, or is it more locker room leadership?
I thought he was just about done. It felt that way, but he's been another guy who's helped them win games this year. Not much of an offensive threat anymore, but I don't know. I know Miami's got a great culture, but for some reason, he just loves it out here. I think a lot of it has to do with the golf, to tell you the truth, but nevertheless. And he loves Steph Curry. He just loves Steph Curry. Like, he makes it. He's like Steph Curry's PR guy. He really is. And so he came back here, and he's giving him some. He's going to take a lot of nights off, but he's like an assist. He's kind of like Udonis Haslam with a little more left in the tank.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see him as that as well. All right. A couple things about the league. Do the Brooklyn Nets, if they get to the fight, can they win it all without Kyrie?
I don't know. Is James Harden out of shape, or has he lost a half a step? That to me determines it.
I think you're right.
Because of all those three players, I actually think Harden's the most well-equipped to basically become the passer of that group. Doesn't mean he's not going to score, but Harden's got to play at a higher level. But I'll tell you what, Kevin Durant's been absolutely phenomenal. Can they win it? I don't think so, because I think if Milwaukee's healthy, they're still the best team. The thing I love about Milwaukee is their three best players are all really, really good defensively, whether it's Drew Holiday, Middleton, or Giannis. So they're going to be pretty good on that end of the floor. It's just, I got to see what's going to happen with Kyrie, but I guess nothing's going to happen with Kyrie.
Are you fully vaccinated, Matt?
Of course. Of course. Are you?
Yeah, I am. I just got my booster the other day, and but it's not for COVID. It's for measles. No, I'm kidding. It is. I know. I just don't understand the whole. I mean, I know he's a different guy. It's just we could talk about it. I mean,
you know what? I think a lot of it, honestly, Mike, it's got to do with age. It's you know, I know Kyrie's a little older, but it's a 25, 28 year old who.
But look at Aaron Rodgers.
He's invincible. That's true. And he's supposed to be a guy progressive from Cal and Chico, you know? You never know.
Yeah. No, you don't know. You don't know at all anymore. You can change. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, like, next time we have you on, you're a QAnon guy. And I don't know. It's possible. It's
yeah. Me and Marge Taylor Greene, you know, we're two birds of a feather.
I love it. I mean, we just. Obviously, the Bay Area, where I grew up when I was a real little kid, before we moved to Hawaii. But I love that I love this social conscience renaissance that's happened in sports. Even the guys I disagree with, and I think they go too far. Like, I love LeBron. I think sometimes you don't know what the hell he's talking about, but I love that he puts himself out there. I mean, before, you know, Colin Kaepernick gets all this love, like, let's be honest. LeBron was the guy who – LeBron and Dwayne Wade got the heat to put on hoodies during the Trayvon Martin thing. That was a signature moment where nobody in almost any sport would, especially a Jordan or Tiger Woods, but they would never put themselves out there like that. And yet these guys were going to do that, and whether you liked it or not. And I kind of – I don't know. I'm kind of enamored by it, but it's funny. I'm a hypocrite in a way, because I want guys that have my point of view. Once I have Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, what? You're telling me you're friends with Joe Rogan? Get over yourself. The guy's like 5'6", and 11 million people listen to him a day. I am jealous of his podcast. More people will listen. I know it's a shocker. More people will listen to his podcast this week than mine, and that's hurtful. Many ways.
Well, we'll see. Hey, Mike, give me a little more credit than that. When you say you got Matt Steinmetz on, that gap's going to shrink, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. There will be a small version of like very rural Pennsylvania, and parts of the Bay Area, and that's about it. Maybe a family in Germany that I don't know about from back in the day, but that's about it. And, I think it's your favorite player to watch outside of Steph Curry. Like, it's somebody that you just like go, oh, God damn. Or he's either got my game when I was good, or he's just so fun to watch.
I'd probably be Trae Young. I think he's pretty incredible, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I was going to say Trae Young, Luka.
Luka, you know what?
He's got a little European softness still, doesn't he?
Well, I don't like the Luka Bird comparison. To me, Luka's more like James Harden.
I gave Howard Beck grief for this. Like, he was like, I know, and I go, what? Why? Like, yeah, Luka's got more James Harden in him than Bird. I don't, I think there's never been, there hasn't been a white superstar in so long in the league, people go nuts with, here he comes, the next Bird.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Bird never dicked around with a ball at the top of the circle for 5 seconds and then shot a fadeaway. You know, he'd shoot a fadeaway after curling off a screen or something.
And then he'd rebound the ball and shoot it with his left hand off the backboard. I gotta see Luka get to the finals before I pronounce him the next big thing. I love watching him. Jokic. I mean, if I could have passed like that during our media league games, we could have won a lot.
That guy's better than people think. You know, I heard something last year that, he might be the worst MVP. Get out of here. I mean, the guy is, you know, like he to me is a little like, not totally, but a little like Sabonis. But I never saw Sabonis in Russia.
Yeah.
When he came to the Blazers, he was a little bit past his prime, but still unbelievable. Jokic is a little like him.
Jokic, if he was a little stronger, would be Shaq with range. I mean, he had so many inside. Actually, Kevin McHale with a little meat on him. I mean, he's unbelievable. Like his up and unders, I think it's great. I think it's great for the game. Unfortunately, my son will never play in the NBA because there are too many foreigners now who have, you know, they've been, David Stern did a good job, such a good job of outsourcing the league that he's taking jobs away from our kids. I know. How old is your daughter now, by the way?
Which one? I got three. My oldest is in D.C. Working for Congressman Raskin.
Jamie Raskin. I love Jamie Raskin. He's in our district.
She works for Jamie Raskin in his communications department. My middle daughter is in college in London at King's College. And then my youngest is a sophomore in high school. Yeah, I know, man. Crazy.
I mean, you're the only guy I know that actually started having kids at 11. That doesn't happen a lot. And, you know, and it's a medical miracle in many ways.
Ready for the empty nest and 5 rounds of golf a day. Sure.
All right. Before we let you go, man, a word association.
All right.
Available award association here. Steve Kerr.
Red ass.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Steve Kerr, but he puts on the nice guy for people, but he's got a red ass. He's one of these guys.
Draymond Green the other day went up to him and said, "Your body language stinks when we turn the ball over. Cut it out. It's effective." I'm dead serious.
Did Steve Kerr just start rolling?
He's broken about 3 to 5 clipboards over his tenure here.
Yeah. That's great. Let's see. Warriors PR legend Raymond Ritter.
Oh my God. Indefatigable. How's that?
Indefatigable. That's good. I don't know if it's indefatigable or indefatigable. It's better.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Like if you called that guy after he'd been dead for 3 years, he'd still answer the phone.
Well, his auto replies would still be on, I'll bet you. No doubt about it. Dude, that guy was Showtime Lakers.
Yeah.
Showtime Lakers.
He was, it's unbelievable. He never ages. He's the Benjamin Button of his profession.
Exactly. He's a legend.
And he looks like Brad Pitt, too, which is incredible. The people we're talking about now, like I know people are listening going, this is so inside. I'm not going to listen to this podcast. Screw you. This is good stuff. All right. Bob Myers, the general manager of the Warriors.
Class act. You know what? Here's something about Bob Myers. When he was a big boy agent, and I was working for the Contra Costa Times.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell that was. You think Arn Tellem ever returned a call of mine? Never.
David Falk didn't either.
No, never. Bob Myers returned calls and returned texts when nobody else would when he was an agent. And that's Hey, man. That's something I remember to this day. Plus, he gave me his courtside seats to the game against the Hawks last week. So he can do no wrong in my book.
My God, you are just gone down the ethical hit. You're not even a journalist anymore. You're an entertainer.
Nah, absolutely not. No, I'm not.
All right, let's go to somewhere else here. And we talked about him earlier, Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher, his best trait as a basketball player, I always felt, was the fact that he was in really good shape.
Oh,
essentially.
Now, if he was the Kobe of the Shaq and Kobe of any tandem ever. He was dedicated to filling his body while many of us were eating Louisiana crunch cakes from Entenmann's.
Exactly. I'm lucky because I used to be on the beat with Rick in the mid 90s, and he was a bear back then on the beat. I've always liked Rick a lot. I know that sometimes ruffle feathers, but yeah, I've always gotten along with Rick, and I actually really respect his career, to tell you the truth, because it doesn't seem like he does much anymore, but I think he's probably raking in the money somehow.
Yeah, Bucher is, I think he's as, what do you call it, as old as he is contemporary. He finds a way to stay in the business. But he's just a solid human being too, even though we had a rivalry on the court. Got him and Bembry used to give me fits, Jerry Bembry.
Bembry was tough. Bembry was a tough player.
Bembry was Rick Mahorn with worse knees. I mean,
The guy I never played against, the meaty guy I never played against, who I heard was real good, was Rick Tellender from Chicago.
Yeah.
Was he good?
Rick Tellender in his day, by the time I saw him, he had turned into almost a Lane Beer kind of character where he had a 15-footer, but he still banged, and he was much nicer disposition. He wasn't a dick like Lane Beer, But like Tellender was one of those guys, you wanted him on your team because he didn't, if a game got physical, he wasn't afraid to bang and he could make 10, 15 footer. And he was, and he would find who was the best player on the team. He would make sure he got the ball.
nice.
Wasn't often me, but every now and then it was. So, all right. A few more. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, unicorn, Never seen anybody like him. 6'11", can handle it out on the perimeter.
You like him as a guy?
Actually kind of do. I get where he's coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think he should be, he's overly sensitive, but I do like him as a guy. And I think he's a clutch player too. I think he's money. You know what I mean? When stuff got really, really tight out here, he was always the guy who came through for him. I do like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm with you. Whatever you say about personality. One, we never give these guys sort of leeway for growing up like we had, because we all think they should be, well spoken and mature, make all the right decisions by the time they're 25, and they just don't. And they all evolve. And two, you're right. I've never seen a guy like that. I don't know if he makes it in the ugly 80s. He's almost like a James Worthy type where he had these long limbs, or the 90s where it got so physical. Yeah. And yet he's the evolution of the game, man. He's got the perfect basketball body. He's got the tenacity. He's got the range. He's special. Let's see a couple more. You won't get this one. Alphonso McKinney.
Alphonso McKinney.
I stumped you.
Former Warrior. My understanding is he's killing it in Mexico right now.
How the hell did you know that? Yes, he's the leading scorer for the Capitanes, the new NBA G League team that's taken Ciudad de Mexico by storm. It's crazy.
There you go. Here.
I mean, there's the Mexican national team and Capitanes. It's crazy in football. And then, the basketball team. And they got a great coach, Ramon Diaz. You know Ramon Diaz?
I don't know.
Former Spanish legend.
Okay.
Coached the national team for years. Mitch Thompson, the assistant. And they got some nice players. Mike Torres, you familiar with Mike Torres at all?
No.
Yeah, no. Sorry. He played on those Bay Area courts that you did on the weekends. You used to have that run with guys, and he somehow got. All right, a Bay Area legend, Hook Mitchell, Demetrius Hook Mitchell.
You know what? I see Hook every once in a while. Believe it or not.
Wow.
When I head over to the West Oakland BART station sometimes to go to work, when Hook got out of prison about 15 years ago, he used to play pickup at Club One. So I played with him a few times, kind of not in his prime, but unbelievable. Like, he was so strong. He's still struggling, to be honest. But it's like, you ask any of the guys out here, whether it's Peyton or whether it's a guy named James Daly, who knew him real well. It's like, you know what? Hook just chosen that life. Yeah. And like, it's a conscious decision. He just, this is the way he wants to live.
It's exactly right. And I've been working on a story on him forever. I saw him during the 2017 finals, and he was on the street basically.
Yeah.
And I found him and it's great. Like, it's sort of like when I asked Steph Curry about him, he goes, "Do you know where he is? I'd love to meet him." Like, Steph Curry wanted to meet the greatest playground legend in basketball. You know, anybody that's ever heard of Pee Wee Reese or Bill the Goat Manigault. Like, this guy, he was the West Coast version of that. And I always wish that he'd gotten straight. But you're right. He chose some of that life, and that's who he is. And it's a great cautionary tale. And what happens after you're a great ball player and that's all that people remember you as? Can you find something else? And luckily you have, Matt Steinmetz.
Sure. Yeah. What is it exactly?
I don't know, man. It's Dibs, the Guru, and Steiny. Wait, is it Roger Dibble?
You mean Rod Dibble.
I mean, Rod Dibble?
No, it's Dan Deaton.
God bless you. He was such a jerk. I wrote something about him in the Washington Post, and he still wants to pick me up. Yeah.
He's a nasty. He's one of the nasty boys.
Yeah, he is.
Him and Norm Charlton, and who's the other guy?
Randy Myers.
Myers? Good call. Randy Myers.
Randy Myers. Yeah. I'm out, man. This has been great. I'm glad we caught up. I would like to ask you before you go just about the future of our business, if you even call it that anymore. It's such a weird place to be. And, I still respect some of the people I used to work with because they're grinding. I still even read some of the new guys that really know what they're doing. But also there's just this draining sense of what happened, man. We used to actually cover stuff. And now it's like, I don't know what it is. It's like we're all working for fan-sided, invisibly, and we don't admit it, but we all have these weird connections. And I think Howard Beck explained it well. He called it the unholy alliance, where some people have to do so much unethical stuff to become great reporters and call the news. Which
I agree.
We never did that shit. We had guys that you liked and you had sources, but you never sort of stepped over bounds and basically wrote something that wasn't true to help somebody or basically did anything a guy asked, including give up a source in his organization if he really wanted you to, so you could get something else from him. We never did that.
And plus you had to go back in the locker room every day.
Yes.
And they used to read the stories. Everybody would read the stories. So couldn't run and hide from anything. And in fact, like, a lot of times, you go into that locker room, somebody had a problem. I always found that, like, the guys who sometimes had a problem with something I wrote, or I ended up being closer to them after it was all over than you know, some other guys I maybe, you know, flattered or whatever. But yeah
and they respected you for not being someone in their life that told them what they wanted to hear. A lot of times a writer, a reporter would tell them what they needed to hear, and there'd be sort of a reckoning of, oh yeah, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Especially, so whatever. I'm just a bitter old dude in the business that sort of like long days when the New York Times would send me to Miami for a week, and now they don't do that. Guys write from their homes. God, I mean, look at me. I'm in Mexico doing a podcast. By the way, you're my first Mexican guest. You know, Bruce Bernstein, love him to
death.
Yeah. Did, ¿habla español?
Poco.
Yeah. Un poquito. Okay, me too. Thank you, Matt Stein, Mets.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go. Time to stick the landing.
It's time to wrap things up, but not before we talk about the Capitanes. Bruce, they're 2-3 in this maiden season of theirs. Lost two in a row, which I'm not happy about, including to the Austin Spurs, which is the, of course, the G League affiliate of the San Antonio Spurs. Nonetheless, this week, Mitch Thompson, the assistant coach, has a birthday coming up. We wish him happy birthday. And I feel with all my fiber and being that team is going to get back on track this week against the Spurs again.
And since we talked about them last week on the Mike Wise Show, I believe the American fan base for that team has just been blowing up over the past week. So they owe you a great debt of gratitude for putting them, so to speak, on the map here in the States.
Yeah, I don't want to take all the credit, but if they would funnel me some royalties, some pesos, it would be nice. I could use them right now. Any quick thoughts on the resurgent Warriors?
Well, first of all, Matt Steinmetz was awesome, and we totally want to thank him for spending time with us.
He was great.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, I think when you guys were talking about the culture of that team, I think it's very much alive, and it's going to be fun to see where they take things from here.
I'm going to be sad when Steph Curry retires. That's enough out of you, Bruce. Now, please hit us with the promos.
Yes, Mike, thank you so much. And we'd like to say thanks to our editor, Drew Rich.
Drew!
Are they booing or saying Drew?
Drew.
Please check out all of our Pure Hoops media shows. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin. They got a special guest coming up this week, Dwayne Rankin, who's the longtime Phoenix Suns beat writer for the Arizona Republic. He's going to share some perspective on the red hot Suns, who are breathing down the Warriors' neck atop the West. And also, red hot Suns, you saw what I did there, right? And he's also going to try and break down the mess involving team governor Robert Sarver. That show is going to drop on Wednesday. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure is back this Thursday with a fresh new show. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman will soon return with the Pure Hoops podcast each Friday. And of course, you, the great Mike Wise, will be back every week. And please don't miss some of our choice bite-sized discussions from all of our shows in our Pure Hoops Media Quick Hitters. Plus, we have nearly 200 great video segments on our YouTube channel. So please go to YouTube and search for Pure Hoops Media. Mike.
Get the vaccination. I've heard it and said it 20,000 times. It means a lot to everybody, not just yourself. Till next time, adios, aloha, and hasta luego, muchachos.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called the Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.